One, thank you for joining us tonight. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God and indivisible with liberty and justice for all.
You will call our meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrick.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green is excused. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt this evening's agenda?
Move to approve as presented.
Second.
Second by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Move on to item number 3, presentation by Mr. Trevor Fuller on planned development districts.
So this was a request of mine because it's been brought up at a few meetings. Maybe there's some concerns as far as what a PDD is. And there's at times when I think I feel like I repeat myself, I'm a broken record. And some of this I'm sure you know, so I apologize for that. But there's other times where I'm sure I work with this every day and I just go over it, assuming that everyone knows the ins and outs of it. So this presentation is going to cover a few things. It can be pretty brief, and then I'm going to have a lot of questions, I guess, at the end. But the beginning will be the background, basic background of zoning and then what a PDD is, where we derive our authority for zoning and for a PDD, what our ordinance says, and then some examples of PDDs both in our community as well as in some other municipalities. So I hate when slideshows are really wordy.
Well, a great example of some.
It's good that you cut this one back.
The presenter reads directly from the slide. But because there seems to be some confusion as far as what the PDD is, and just so that it's in the record then on the audio recording, I will read a good majority of these slides word for word, and I apologize for that. But so brief background, 1916, the small city of Euclid, New York.
26.
Right.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Before I read word for word, I'm just going to...
Okay.
1916, the small city of Euclid, New York, adopted the first zoning code. And that's that was just to separate the uses. They didn't want a residential use next to a factory kind of thing. And Milwaukee and other cities over the next few years adopted a zoning code. Milwaukee adopted theirs in 1920. And then there were landowners. They were upset. They thought that this hurt their property values, and so forth. And so they challenged it, and it went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And in 1926 was the court case Euclid versus Ambler, and the Supreme Court upheld the authority for municipalities to have zoning power, and they did so by through deeming zoning authority as a police power. And essentially what police power is defined as is the power to regulate for the advancement and protection of health, moral, safety, or general welfare of the community as a whole. And then after that, there's the Standard State Zoning Enabling Act by the U.S. Department of Commerce, which most states followed suit and adopted readily Interesting enough, it says shall, in that act, it says shall be made in accordance with the comprehensive plan. Most communities adopted the zoning, but either forgot the comprehensive plan component of it, or adopted a comprehensive plan and went years without updating their comprehensive plan. So in 1998, actually, the state of Wisconsin adopted a rule that municipalities have to have a comprehensive plan if they're going to have a zoning code. So it was quite a long period of time before that actually was law. So moving forward, Euclid, basic zoning is now referred to as Euclidean zoning because of the city of Euclid. And then moving forward, in the 1960s, planners and developers started experimenting and exploring different ways to do things. And that's where the PDD, or which is Planned Development District Development, or in other communities it's called Planned Unit District or Planned Unit Development. And they developed this to custom tailor developments to a specific parcel. And what a PDD is it's an overlay or unique zoning district which allows an alternative to conventional zoning by creating one set of zoning rules on top of existing ones. So pretty much every PDD is its own zoning district. You create your own rules for the zoning or for that specific parcel. And you might take rules from the underlying zoning, but if there's rules that conflict with the overlay zoning and the underlay zoning, the overlay or the PDD trump that. So it provides a give and take between a municipality and a developer to a zoning development. The development can be exempted from some village regulations or minimum standards in exchange for providing features that exceed some village regulations or minimum standards. And again, it provides this flexibility without the need of a variance or a zoning amendment. So typically, you have the zoning code, and if you want any sort of change from that zoning code, you have to go to the Board of Appeals and get a variance, which it can be difficult because you have to show hardship. The other route would be a zoning amendment. And for an example, with the Zambaldi project, if we were to change the zoning code to allow breweries in all commercial developments, you might have a brewery popping up on that parcel of land that we rezoned a commercial on McCormick and Irwin there on the north end of the village. Obviously, a brewery doesn't necessarily fit there, so this allows for that flexibility where you can amend or you can allow for certain uses that aren't typically allowed for without allowing it within all zoning categories. So typical examples of exemptions that a developer might propose in a PDD would be higher residential density than we would allow, buildings that are taller or closer to property lines, a mixed-use development, roads that are more narrow than what we typically allow and may be privately owned and maintained. And then some things that the village might get back for that is a higher quality exterior finishes on buildings, greater landscaping, more land dedicated for parks or open space. And I have a few resources here. I won't go through all three. Village Bellevue has a great explanation, very simple as far as what a PDD is on their website, and that's Belleville down by Milwaukee. And then there's the American Planning Association, which you can explore their website and find tons of resources on this. But the City of Madison has a publication too. I just want to pull that up real quick. Because these are other uses that the City of Madison says specifically. They want a PDD to promote for the promotion of green buildings, building technologies, promotion of integrated land uses, preservation and enhancement of important environmental features, preservation of historic buildings, more adequate, usable, and suitable located vacant space, facilitation of high quality development that's consistent with our goals. So, I mean, tons of benefits from a PDD, and it's all on how a municipality uses it. So, went over with the Supreme Court rules, and then the state adopted a similar rule to that that Enabling Act of 1926. State statute section 62.23 goes over all planning rules related to villages and cities. And specifically, subsection 7 talks about zoning, and subsection AM talks about the granting of the power, and this is again going over again what our authority is this subsection and any ordinance, resolution, or regulation enacted or adopted under this section shall be liberally construed in favor of the city and minimum requirements adopted for the purposes stated. This subsection may not be deemed a limitation of any power granted elsewhere. So essentially what it's saying is you can do what you want. We're going to set the minimum rules is very broad. And you can go above and beyond that. Going down, just one more subsection, subsection B. The council may establish mixed-use districts that contain any combination of uses, such as industrial, commercial, public, residential. Council may, with the consent of the owners, establish special districts to be called planned development districts, with regulations in each, which in addition to those provided in Part C, will, over a period of time, tend to promote the maximum benefit for coordinated area site planning, diversified location of structure, and mixed compatible uses. Such regulations shall provide for a safe and efficient system for pedestrian and vehicular traffic, attractive recreation, landscaped open spaces, economic design, and location of public and private utilities and community facilities, ensure adequate standards of construction planning. Such regulations may also provide for the development of land in such districts with one or more principal structures and related accessory uses, planned development districts, and mixed-use districts. The regulations need not to be uniform. Now, I know I just read a lot of that, and you can read that just fine. However, I want to go over one particular phrase that seems to have been brought up quite a bit recently and might be a concern or maybe a little bit of misunderstanding, I guess. And that's for a safe and efficient system for pedestrian and vehicular traffic. It says that we need to look at this when we do a PDD. It doesn't spell out what that means. Do we need to provide sidewalks for every development? It doesn't specify that specifically. It just says we need to look at it. We need to be sure that we are providing that. And that interpretation is up to us, the village, the council, or in this case, the board. And I'll go over an example of that in another municipality later on. But one thing I want to point out is this isn't just my interpretation. This is the interpretation of several area planners who I've reached out to, the Center of Land Use Education, two different attorneys who provided us counsel over my tenure here. This is something that we've done forever and that the state has allowed us to do forever. So this isn't anything new. This is how it's written, and this is how it's interpreted broadly. So then going down one more, and this is the last one I'm going to read word for word from the state statutes. Such regulations shall be made in accordance with a comprehensive plan designed to lessen congestion in the streets, secure safety from fire, panic, other dangers, to promote health and general welfare, to provide adequate light and air, including access to sunlight. And then you move down to such regulations shall be made with reasonable consideration, among other things, of the character of the district and its peculiar suitability for particular uses, and with a view of conserving the value of buildings, encouraging the most appropriate use of the land throughout such city. So, again, it's to promote a type of development that typically wouldn't occur without this. It's to get out above, beyond that Euclidean zoning, that standard zoning. This is to create something new and exciting, such as brewery here. So then we go to our village ordinances, and I think it's Article 6 in our village ordinance, Chapter 475 of our zoning code. they talk specifically about planned development districts. And Section 475-45 talks about the application to existing use districts. So a PDD shall be an overlay zoning district, shall operate as a conditional alternative to permitted uses, and regulations applicable to existing districts shall be applicable only to those lands which may be hereafter established as PDD by the zoning board, or by the village board. The basic underlying zoning in Article 10, which is our site plan design review chapter section, requirements shall continue in force and effect only to the extent that they are not contrary to the requirements of the existing overlay PDD. So, essentially, again, what that's saying is you have the underlying zoning, it might be commercial, it might call for setbacks of 15 feet, but if there's a development and it's going through the PDD process, that's the overlay district, and you can change those rules. That's just starting as a base or base set of standards. So you could have a building that then has a setback of zero, or you could have a brewery that's in a commercial zoning because it allows for this. The purpose, desirable and quality development by permitting greater flexibility and design freedom than that permitted under the basic district regulations, and to accomplish a well-balanced, aesthetically satisfying village and economically desirable development of building sites. It is intended to permit and encourage diversification, variation, and imagination in the relationship of uses, structures, open spaces, heights of structures, for developments conceived and implemented as comprehensive and cohesive unified projects. It is further intended to encourage more rational and economic development with relationship to public services and to encourage, facilitate effective and efficient use of remaining open lands. That last part is huge for us because we're a village that's 97% developed. A lot of our development is infill development. So to use a PDD is to our benefit in a lot of circumstances because it allows, it takes into consideration the surrounding uses and what is going to make most sense in those locations. It's different from maybe like Village of Bellevue, where they have large tracts of land that they're developing and they can plan for neighboring uses and everything like that down the road. And then it gives the basic uses permitted, and again, I just wanted to highlight that such additional uses or mix of uses are approved by the village board to qualify under this article. So basically, whatever the village board wants to put in a PDD, they can put in a PDD. That's what our ordinance says. That's what the state statutes allow us to say. So, and then the building restrictions, when all necessary approvals required under this chapter are obtained, the building height, size, and floor area, lot size, setback, side and rear yard, density and open space requirements under the basic zoning regulations should not be applicable. It'll be whatever the PDD, that specific zoning for that site, dictates. And then we have criteria for approval, and if you go to our ordinance, it'll go into more detail of these, but again, we're looking at character and intensity, economic feasibility, engineering design standards, preservation, maintenance of open space, other factors, whatever the planning commission and village board deem appropriate, and implementation schedule. So examples of PDDs, again, and I apologize if you can't see this very clearly, but again, this isn't anything that's new to the village. This is something that's been around. It's not just something I created because I like to stir commotion. It's something that a lot of past projects have gone through. We'll start from this north end. All these hash marks on the Sony map from 2011 show PDD. So this is those shops up there on Monroe, and you can see that the underlying zoning is a mix of single family and commercial. Then you have Webster Heights, which was actually a PDD back in the day. The Prevail Clinic was a PDD. This property to the east of us, the Mako development, the CBRF, and the condos, that's all PDD with the underlying zoning of a single-family residential. The old Lindy's grocery store, that was a PDD. CVS, PDD with the underlying zoning of high-density district. You also have PDD of the old Alloway condominiums, and that was likely because that's a very tight development. With very small setbacks that butts those neighboring property owners really close. Even the Langlade condominium project was a PDD. So this is something that has been used by the village for years and used appropriately. I do want to pull up our current most recent, or one of our most more recent PDD approvals is the old Chapel Hill project. And as you can see with this, we have smaller setbacks than what we typically allow. We have less green space, but in turn we get more sidewalks throughout the development. Typically on a apartment project, you're going to have doors leading out to either asphalt or grass. And because this was a PDD, we were able to request the developer for all these pedestrian sidewalks throughout their development and inside of the development. He shows that the future plan is to have a sidewalk there. Because of a lot of factors, that sidewalk at the time was not put in, was decided not to be part of the developers' requirements for this project, for a few different reasons. One, at the time, we had just completed the corridor study. We weren't sure if it was going to be a trail or a sidewalk. We didn't have enough research done at that time to determine that. We had Brown County recommend that it would be a sidewalk with on-street bike facilities. So that seems to be the approach that we might go in the future. So we'll still label it as the Arboretum Trail, although semantics, it technically won't be a trail if it's less than a 10-foot path. It technically won't be a trail, but it'll be a connection. If we look at what's being done on East St. Joseph here, it's a 6-foot sidewalk. So if we follow that trend all the way up, you can put that here. But at the time of the PDD, we weren't sure if it was going to be a 10-foot trail or a sidewalk. So we didn't require that of the developer, because to have him put something in, construct it, and then be different than what we want to happen would be a complete waste of money. And had we made the developer pay for it, this was a TIF project, so had we made the developer pay for it, essentially we'd be like, okay, well, maybe we'll increase the TIF incentives we give you to put in a sidewalk, to a year later we'll rip it out. In my professional opinion, that was, and I believe the board agreed with me, that wasn't appropriate, so we decided to hold off, and we do plan on putting that in the future. We just don't have a specific timeline for that. So again, getting back to the PDD, this is an appropriate example of a PDD. It has an underlying zoning of commercial, but so it uses that commercial regulations, but only to the extent that it doesn't conflict with what the PDD rules are. And again, one more thing I want to mention. I don't think this was something that the board discussed, but this is something that is my professional opinion, is I think, as evidenced by the adoption of the bicycle and pedestrian plan, the village has the goal of creating safe and efficient bicycle and pedestrian connections throughout the village. My professional opinion is if you can't do the whole street, you should do it block by block. Every morning and every afternoon, I come into work, I see this development out here, and it's great that we have a sidewalk. This was a PDD, the Mako property over here. That was a PDD, and it's great that we have a sidewalk over there, but it ends here. And I see a lot of pedestrians realize that it ends at different points. And at different points, they'll cross libel. So it creates an unpredictable pedestrian traffic pattern for drivers and then a more unsafe condition. And it's totally legal for us to have a section of sidewalk like that, and it's totally okay. But when we're looking at putting in new facilities, it's my opinion that we should do it in a methodical and safe way. And we shouldn't put a sidewalk on West St. Joseph that's going to end up the development without having near future plans of extending it the entire block. Because here is even more unsafe than it is out here on Libel, because you have that S-curve, you have the condo projects creating a blind driveway, and then you have the grade sloping. So you potentially have people crossing here on St. Joseph, where the sidewalk ends, to get over here, at a point where the cars are coming down the hill, they can't see where the pedestrian is because of the S-curve in the grade and that condo project here. So, in my opinion, despite it's been what has been said, I think the village is being very proactive in our implementation of our bicycle and pedestrian plan, but in my opinion, we should hold off until for projects to make sure that they are safe and it makes sense. I got off my soapbox on that. And move on to examples in the city of Green Bay of PDDs. And I know you can't see this map, so I'm going to pull up a larger map. Just go through a few examples. All these black outline parcels are all PDDs. So you can see there's quite a few in downtown. Pretty much all of downtown is a PDD of some sort, a mix of PDDs. You have the Tundra Lodge here, which was a PDD. You have these. This is Bay Beach here, and this is those Funk Castle amusement park or something. So again, this is a commercial underlying district. So instead of the city amending the ordinances to allow go-karts in anywhere that commercial is allowed, they created a PDD to allow go-karts right here. Then there's the Easttown Mall. Let's see, where's that? Easttown Mall right here, which is actually residential for the most part, with some commercial, but they have that PDD over that to have to allow for that entire development there. And then you have a few apartment projects up here, and I do want to look at those real quick because I feel like it's important for us. because, again, I feel like I have to defend myself because of comments that are being made and defend the village. But this isn't something that is new. This is something that, you know, everyone's doing. And it's legal to do. But these are the PDD developments that the city of Green Bay has done. This is Bear Creek Condos. And as you can see, there's no sidewalk on this street. There's no sidewalk in the development. It's again, up to the city council and what they interpret as a safe pedestrian traffic for their residents. And then just moving just right over here, this is Parkway Highlands development. This is a 55-plus apartment project, again, in Green Bay. This is a PDD. And as you can tell, there's no sidewalks here either on these roads. There's sidewalks connection within the development, but there's no sidewalks on the streets. So this is just examples of how the PDD is used and how it's different in every example, how it's really up to the interpretation of the Planning Commission and the Village Board. And with that, I think I'm done. I'll take any questions, I guess.
Matthew.
I think you did an outstanding job explaining this and bringing it down and making it much more layman friendly. I learned quite a bit from this. I think the two things I took that I think could be used if you're just explaining it to somebody else down the road, when we make exceptions for a specific lot that are not valid for the entire village. So your example of the brewery, okay, and the little property up on the north end, that completely clicked with me as a way to try to explain this to somebody who's not involved on a day-to-day basis. The other part is it's used to promote a development that normally wouldn't occur without it. That's the word, how I scribbled down. I may not have it word for word, but again, that, to me, gave me something to be able to explain to someone else. So I just wanted to acknowledge that this helped me, and I think it may help others.
Any other comments?
Nicely done. Thank you.
That point about the, you know, the fact that we're 97% developed and landlocked and all the rest, this does give us more options than maybe some other municipalities might not need as badly, because we don't have much for options if someone wants to do a newer kind of development of some kind. So, yeah, good job. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, and I think you're pointing out that if you change the ordinance, and I think of two instances for that would be like the brewery. You don't want to just change your ordinance that breweries go anywhere, or the same with the go-kart park in Green Bay. I mean, you only need one of those, right? I mean, it just seems the PDD process just seems advantageous to the village, and anybody that uses it.
Yeah.
And it's not used to circumvent. It's not used for the purpose of circumventing our zoning. It's used for the purpose of adapting our needs.
Right. Right, and to that point, our zoning code was more or less, for the most part, there's been some amendments over the years, but written back in the 70s. So there's been uses that have changed, and this is a way to kind of change with it, but, you know, probably still doesn't make sense to update the zoning code, but this is kind of a way to fill those gaps in between.
I also like the idea where it brings up the mixed use, because we really don't have anything specific to mixed use, and there's been a lot of talk and a lot of stuff in the comprehensive plan about mixed use, and looks like the PDD process is the way to go for mixed use.
Yeah.
Nice job, Trevor. Thanks for your hard work and for the explanation. It didn't make sense.
Yeah, and if any questions, feel free to email me. I will have, I did email this presentation to Debbie just 10 minutes before the meeting, so I asked her to put it on the website. So.
Great, thank you. Good job. Moving on to agenda item number 4, announcements. There's been an application for a temporary Class B retailer's license by Father Alloway Catholic School, Resurrection Campus, for their school auction on November 11th. And that's a recurring event. We've never had any problems, to the best of my knowledge, with such event. And so that's just for your information. But if you do want to go to a school auction, it's a blast. And they always have great prizes. B, budget hearing on November 21st. So at our next village board meeting, we will have a budget hearing for what the staff has come up with for our next budget. I think anyone who reads the budget, if you can see those numbers, the first sum total is the 2017 budget was $7,131,160. The proposed 2018 budget is $7,110,108, so approximately $20,000 less than last year, and it's a 0.30% decrease in property assessments as, or taxes as opposed to an increase. But then you have to go down with our expenditures. But that's, overall, we are flat or just a little lower. Zero.
Details can be found on our website.
Details can be found on our website. And we'll have a hearing for that purpose. Announcement C, certification of appreciation for retiring crossing guard. Thank you. We have a crossing guard by the name of Nancy Benetton. She's been an adult crossing guard with the Village of Alloway since the fall of 2011. Her station has always been at the busy intersection of Alloway and Libel, one of the roundabout intersections in the village. In all types of weather, and during split shifts and inattentive drivers, she has done her job ensuring the safety of our children going to and from school each day. She has touched the lives of many. In her own words, even a simple smile can make a profound difference, attitude in the paintbrush that colors our world. We ask the board to recognize her years of service to the community of Alloway, and we are doing so with a certificate to Nancy Benetton in recognition of outstanding community service conferred by resolution dated November 7th, 2017. We thank Nancy very much for everything she's done for the village and wish her well moving forward. D, leaf collection. Where's the leaf collection?
Craig.
Can you make an announcement on leaf collection?
Sure. We are collecting leaves.
When are they going to fall from the tree?
Yeah, really.
You need to get the tree shakers out.
In communication with De Pere and Green Bay, I mean, of course, what we're experiencing is the leaf drop is late. So we are collecting leaves. We are operating the vacuum leaf collector daily, 5 days a week, and pretty much keeping up with that. Keeping up with the leaf drop with that. And the baler is only sporadic when there's enough leaves to make it worthwhile. What we suspect is that we probably will be collecting leaves after the week of Thanksgiving. We'll be going into December. So we will do as much as we can, but once we get the significant snowfall, that pretty much ends what we can do with leaf collection. This may be a fall season where we have to finish collecting leaves in the spring during spring cleanup. It may be that kind of a situation, depending on what happens. But you've all noticed, I'm sure, that there's still a lot of green trees out there. Mm-hmm. Normally by now we'd have 75% of the leaf drop. We have collected about pretty close to the equivalent of 700 bales of leaves out of the 1,700 we would normally expect for the full season. So that's kind of where we're at. Mm-hmm. So we will continue. It is posted on the website. The vacuum collector will operate daily, and we'll go from there and see if we can do as much as we can before we get to snow.
Very good. Thank you very much. We'll move on to agenda item number 5, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience this evening who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former chairman of the Bike Ped Committee, in charge of co-chairman of the Bike Ped Committee, in charge of pedestrian issues. I wanted to thank Trevor for his presentation. I believe it was directed towards me in large part because I do speak at the Planning Commission meetings requesting a sidewalk on West St. Joseph Street. And I think that he laid out his position very clearly and the position of the board that's been adopted. I believe that that position is absolutely wrong. I believe that the village has a duty to provide safe and efficient pedestrian accommodations for the elderly and for the handicapped, and especially in planned development districts. Specifically on West St. Joseph Street, it's a very dangerous street. It's a it's going to be a fast street once it's redone. It's on a curve, it's on a hill, and you're putting in a new apartment complex with people who want to walk dogs. I saw the dogs out there yesterday. And the people who might want to go to school. It's not a 55 and older community. And people will want to walk down by our new waterfront, which we're plowing year-round. We're plowing it and we're taking care of it year-round. So the Fox River Trail is a public facility. We're paying for it with tax dollars. And it's very important that the elderly and the handicapped have access to that trail under the Americans with Disabilities Act. You cannot ignore that federal law. It's required that you give people access to public facilities, reasonable access. There is no reasonable access to the Fox River Trail from West St. Joseph Street. There's not a safe crossing. There's no plans to put in a safe crossing for another 5 to 7 years until they rebuild the street. The plans that I was pushing for when we were talking with the state on putting in the trail to St. Joseph Street from St. Francis Park, that got deleted through negotiations with the village and the state. It stopped at a parking lot that's owned by the diocese. So there's a lot going on that the village has a duty to make sure that the people in the new apartment complex have safe and efficient accommodations. It's not okay to make people walk in the street when you have icy roads and snowbanks coming down that hill. I work on that street, so I'm very familiar with what that street is like during the winter, and it's not always safe. With regards to Trevor pointing out that a brewery is not allowed in a commercial district and an apartment complex is not allowed in a commercial district, and that they prefer to use planned development districts to engage in what's called spot zoning. Spot zoning is a bad idea. It's really goes against everything that zoning codes have are developed for. So you should not be using the planned development district to get around or to circumvent the zoning code. And I've been saying this at all the meetings, and I think that it's pretty much on all the records, that the village went on record as saying the only reason that the new brewery is going to be a PDD is to get around the zoning code. There's no reason for setbacks or anything else that couldn't be put in there except where it's not allowed. So the PDD that's being put in on the brewery instead of a brew pub, and the difference between my understanding is between a tap room and a brew pub is a brew pub has a restaurant and a tap room more just has a place to sit down and maybe use the food trucks. I think that that was what was included in the purchase agreement that the village agreed to make sure that they could use food trucks instead of a restaurant. So there's a lot going on. I find the village has complained. In fact, the village put a gag order on me, which was truly unique, a municipal gag order, a cease and desist order, so that I could not get access to public records because I find that the public records are, open records requests are a very efficient way of finding out what's really going on versus what I'm being told. So, the again, I think that you're using the plan development district to engage in spot zoning and to circumvent the zoning code, and that's a bad idea. And more importantly, you need to make sure that the elderly and the handicapped have good access to public facilities, and that starts with the sidewalks that should be on West St. Joseph Street. Thanks.
I'll just correct one thing that you said, Jim. In the cease and desist letter, we did not put a gag order on you, and this is not going to be a debate, I'm just telling you. The cease and desist did not have anything to do with you being able to get open records. When you make open records request, if there is such documents, we send them to you. So just to clarify, we didn't put out a cease and desist to stop you from doing open records requests.
What I found was that I requested specifically for copies of your snarky slideshow that you presented against me, and I was told that those slides don't exist, but I listened to the tape and you read from slides, yet Debbie told me that those slides don't exist and only one slide was given to me, and I know that there's more than one.
You're given exactly what you asked for. Look at what you asked for, and you got exactly what you asked for.
I asked for the slides. You had two items that were put together when you put a series of presentations against me last year, and I asked for copies of the slides, and I didn't get them. And then I was billed for them. And then also I asked for copies of the public works.
Jim.
Jim. No. You opened it up.
No, I did not. I said that we did not issue the cease and desist to prevent you from getting open records requests. That had nothing to do with
your cease and desist. What did it have to do with?
Do you want to read it in public?
You already had interviews with the newspaper, and the village of Bergen had an interview with the newspaper, and Brad had an interview with the newspaper.
And yeah,
so it's out there. It's out there.
Okay.
So the fact is,
thank you, Mr. O'Rourke.
I need to see the maps that I paid for.
I paid
for maps, and I haven't gotten them. I paid for slides, and I haven't gotten them. I'd like to see them.
Have a good evening. Thanks.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak this evening? Hearing none, we will move on to number six, action regarding resolution 2017-33, thanking Laura Krivogel for her years of service on the Plan Commission. And I'm guessing she's not here because I know everyone who's here. So, resolution 2017-33, Village of Alloway. Be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to thank Laura Krivogel for serving on the Plan Commission since April 18, 2017, and to honor Ms. Krivogel with a resolution and certificate of recognition of her excellent service to the community. Passed and approved by this Village Board of the Village of Alloway the 7th day of November 2017. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris. Do I have a second? Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. And thank you very much to Laura. Action item number 7, action regarding committee appointments. We had an application from a Mr. Matthew Honnold, resident of our fine village, and who has generously offered to serve as the first alternate member for the Plan Commission and the second alternate committee member for the Economic Development Committee. He currently works for Somerville Architects as an architectural project manager, recently moved to Green Bay from Janesville, purchased a house in Alloway. He's looking to volunteer to get connected in the community. While in Janesville, he served on the Historic Plan Commission for 3 years and was the chair of the committee for the last year of his term. He's looking to join the he's also joining current in Green Bay, but he wants to get involved in Alloway. And I will accept the motion to accept his application for both positions. Trustee Dart. Seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? We're very, very thankful to Matthew for his offer to serve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We also had an application from another gentleman, and we have yet to be able to connect. We'll be doing so tomorrow, so we'll bring that up at our next village board meeting. Action item number 8, sign exception request from Fast Signs for a monument sign at 507 Green. Trevor, is this your project?
This is. So as you recall, this is something new to our sign code that we amended the sign code about a year ago, and that's for sign exceptions, which basically we will look at specific instances where maybe strict interpretation of the sign code would not allow for a sign. Reason being either site layout or grade, typically. This one in particular is located right across from Sasky's. It's an office building. Because of the site layout, they're very limited. They're actually limited to only the wall sign, I think, at this point, which would be either here or maybe on this side. So it would limit visibility. So what they're seeking is an exception to the sign code for setback and for landscaping. They wish to put their sign right on the property line. Typically it's 8 feet and 8 foot setback. And then they wish to landscape within the public right-of-way. The Planning Commission reviewed this at their last meeting in October, and they said, or they recommended giving an exception to place the sign 2 feet off the right-of-way so that the landscaping can be maintained on their property. And in the event of future sidewalk or any road projects go there, then we don't have to disrupt any of their landscaping.
And is there not room for the 8 foot setback? Is that why, or is that just because it wouldn't?
Right. So the right of way in this area is fairly large. I don't know if it's not typical of our streets, but I think it's set back like 12 feet is the property line from the curb to the property line, and then it's only 7 feet from the property line to the building. So it wouldn't allow for a sign. They could potentially put a sign over here, set it back 8 feet, you'd be into a parking stall. And not only that, but then you would also have to, they want to have it internally illuminated. So that would mean bringing power from the building underneath the asphalt or ripping up the asphalt to the site. So they prefer this location right here at the moment.
Okay. Do I have a motion on this second?
I'll make the motion to approve the variance to allow the sign as described to be erected there on said site.
So by the plan, the recommendations by the plan commission?
Correct.
I'll second.
Second by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
Two questions. One, do we know if the applicant is okay with that adjustment? And if we were to approve it, would it still be something they want to do? Because we're moving it 2 feet from where they're requesting it, right?
Mm-hmm. I did speak with Fast Science, who's representing the client, and they're agreeable to that.
Okay. Part two is it too close to the street such that it would block anyone's view from seeing oncoming traffic? That's my primary concern with going that close to the street, and I don't know if that's been addressed.
It will be set back because of the wide right-of-way between the curb and the property line. It will still be set back, I think, with that 2 foot. I think it would be about 14 feet,
okay.
which should be enough.
Yes, with that amount, I'm more... Knowing that number, I'm more comfortable with the distance setback, so thank you.
Good question.
Mm-hmm. I'm done. I can go home now.
Any other discussion?
Just some comments. I mean, we had another person that had came forward to ask for a variance in the sign, but according to our sign code, the criteria that's laid out for making that adjustment or that. Anyway, this fits with the criteria. The last one didn't fit in the criteria, just so we're clear on that. Why we would give these people a variance and not the last people. This fits in the criteria developed to give variances.
Okay.
Just want that on record.
Thank you. Any other discussion? We have a motion to accept the recommendation from the Plan Commission for a 2 foot setback. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 9, approval of Miramar Drive Residential Historic District nomination. Trevor?
So this is more or less a formality. This would be in the instance that a district or property owners took it upon themselves or to either nominate their home or a district. This is a formality so that the municipality is made aware that this property is being listed to the National Register. So in this instance, we're the ones doing the nomination work, so we're obviously aware of it, but this state asked for a letter of approval, and this is essentially filling in that request.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion on this item?
Can I speak?
I move for approval.
There's a request from the audience to suspend the rules. Is there an interest in that?
For approving a letter?
Yeah. Okay. We have a second? Or we have a...
I don't.
Pardon?
Nothing at the moment.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second to approve the letter? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 10, Public Works Committee minutes dated October 11th, 2017, specifically providing single recycling bin, single garbage bin collection to Doug's Take 5 upon purchase of the carts. Mr. Meikle came to the Public Works Committee and let us know that he would like the ability. He has a commercial dumpster for both recycling and for garbage. He came to us saying that at times, because people find that handy to dump their own garbage in his recycling bin or his dumpsters, and at times there are times when he has more than he can get rid of, and it would be expensive to have a second collection done. So he asked if it was okay to put one garbage can and or one recycling can out into the cul-de-sac behind there, which is where our garbage trucks go anyway. And so the Public Works Director informed us that there are other businesses we do that for. It wasn't going out of the way. It wasn't out of the ordinary. And so they agreed to do it. And Craig, do you believe we need a motion on this? Or?
Well, the reason why it was brought to the village board is because at committee we did make a recommendation to the board. So
okay.
That's the formality. Otherwise,
okay.
If we had made a consensus decision, then we wouldn't have brought it to the board. So it's just
okay.
A formality.
Okay. So that's the explanation, and I will accept a motion on this item. Trustee Dart.
I'll make a motion to go with the Public Works suggestion on garbage bins for Doug's Take 5.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
It's just for the collection of the garbage where Doug's Take 5 is purchasing them, correct?
Yep.
I'm just going to include the collection.
Yep.
Okay, thank you, sir. I understood.
Yep.
Thank you.
He's going to buy the bin. Maybe he has already. I don't know. He's going to.
And then he's going to wheel it down to the cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm. Buy the pen, purchase the carts.
Yes. Okay, I'll second that. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 11, order of snow blades for Public Works wheel loaders. Mr. Byrne.
In the 2018 budget, the item that we had for equipment purchases for next year was the two snowplow blades for the two wheel loaders that we use for snow plowing the cul-de-sacs. So that's our really, in essence, our only equipment purchase for next year out of the equipment fund. The staff has asked me to try to get early authorization to order those, so that we can put them into service yet this winter. The two blades that we're replacing are close to 30 years old, and they tell me that they've had to do quite a bit of maintenance work each year to get them back retrofit to use them on the wheel loaders, so they'd like to avoid the maintenance work of rewelding and whatnot that they have to go through to put them back into service, and try to get them. If we order the blades in the next few days, we probably can get them late December and have them in service in January, so we'll still get most of the winter service out of the new snowball blades. So that's the request. It's just authorization to go ahead with the order prior to your final budget approval. But these are out of the equipment fund, so they don't affect the bottom line budget. They come out of the equipment fund itself. And it still would be a 2018 expenditure.
So we're just doing it a couple months early.
Yes, that's all.
That seems practical to me.
Yeah. It actually probably saves us a little bit of money, the maintenance on the other blades.
So I'll accept the motion on this item.
I'd make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
I did check with Julie with regard to making this kind of expenditure and the timing of it, and she double-checked with the auditor, and there is no issue with taking this step for this project. So it makes logical sense, but it also doesn't run afoul of any of the auditing rules that we would need to follow.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action number 12, action regarding consent agenda. We'll take A through D as one. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris? Motion to approve, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a second? Trustee Dart? Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Is there anything that board members would like to have on a future agenda? Hearing none.
I just got some feedback from just a couple of people. I think Alloway Business Association and others that had last year planned and coordinated the bridge opening on Webster, and they've been given some thought to having that as kind of an annual event, but the cost, as suggested from the county, I think, was about $1,000 to close the street and all those good things. So they just wondered if we could pursue that and consider doing something as an annual event next fall. It was right around October, and so I said, well, I would try to bring it up and see if we can establish what the cost would be and all that. I think it was primarily for street department personnel and or barricades. And yeah, they were kind of shocked at the $1,000 estimate and wondered if that were flexible or whatever. So we can just put that up for discussion at some point.
Excellent. Thank you. Any others? Hearing none. I will accept the motion, action item number 14, I'll accept the motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.851C, considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility, specifically employee reviews. Trustee Harris. Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrich.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Thank you. We are in closed session.